This morning we're going to be looking at scriptures, Luke chapter 11, verses 5 through 10. And it's keep asking, searching, and knocking. And in this particular parable, it begins with instructions to pray. The disciples, you know, of course, they prayed and they did a lot of things that Jesus gave them the power to do. And they wanted to know how to even pray more intimately to the Father. And Jesus gave them the model prayer right there. And then he begins with explaining to them how that we are to keep asking and seeking and knocking. It's just not like we pray once and, well, okay, God's going to answer my prayer. Well, he will answer, but he continually wants to hear. And that's why this particular, as it is written and given in the Greek form, it's keep on doing it. Just not ask once, but keep on. Keep on. That's why I entitled it, keep asking, keep searching, and keep knocking. So begin with me with verse 5, 11 of Luke. Luke chapter 11. And this is after Jesus prayed the prayer to the Father. Then he said to them, suppose one of you has a friend and goes to him and at midnight and says to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine has come to me from a journey, and I have nothing to set before him. And from the inside he answers and says, do not bother me. The door has already been shut, and my children and I are in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything. I say to you, even though you will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, yet because of your persistence, that's the key, persistence, keep on keeping on, he will get up and give him as much as he needs. And here's the plea, Jesus says, so I say to you, ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock, and it will be opened to you. And here's the answer to verse 9. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, it will what? Be opened. That's the key right there. So as we look at this scripture this morning, this message is taken from what is commonly called a friend comes at midnight. So that's what is this particular parable is taken from. And in this particular passage, Jesus uses this parable to relate a certain message about our need to continue knocking on the door. Knocking on the door of heaven. I like Revelations 3:20, where it says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. I love this. And Jesus is actually talking to Christians here. Oftentimes, we use this when we're witnessing to a lost person, and it's an excellent verse to do that. But in Revelation here, he's talking to the churches that people, we as believers in Jesus Christ, we are to stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine. Or also in another interpretation of that dine is that fellowship, that relationship with him and he with me. Now, give you clarification on this particular verse. If you notice, Jesus is standing there knocking on the door. Well, that's symbolizing the simple of our hearts. the heart of the church, the heart of us as individual, as Jesus says, the Spirit of God is knocking on our door. And I'm glad he knocks on my door, aren't you? Are you glad he knocks on your door? So Jesus is knocking, but he's not going to force entry inside of our lives. So the door has to be open how? From the inside. From the inside. Michelangelo painted a picture of Jesus knocking on a door. If you ever notice, there's no doorknob, no handle or anything. So that's a symbol of opening from the inside. That's what I said. Jesus says, if you will open the door, I will come in. So Jesus said that he stands at the door knocking on our heart, and if we will open it, the door, he will come in. So Jesus loves us so much. He does. He loves us so much. He pursues us. He pleads with us. He enters, and he wants us to enter the kingdom of heaven. That's why he's knocking. He knocks on everyone's door eventually at some point in time. And when the time is right, they will open that door of their heart, and he will come in, and he will give them eternal life. Again, in this parable, Jesus reveals that the door of our heart is not only the door that needs knocking on. Okay? I want to clarify this as well. It's not the only door that needs to be opened. Jesus may knock on our heart's door, but we need to be knocking on heaven's gates. And we do that through prayer, right? That's why he knocks on our door and we knock on heaven's door, on heaven's gates. We do that. We need forgiveness of our sins for salvation and eternal life so that we will be willing to whatever is needed to do that we might enter into the gates of heaven. So now let's move on to asking for bread. This is what this particular parable is about. A friend comes knocking on the door at midnight, verses 5 through 8. So in this verse, Jesus addressed his audience by asking, which of you shall have a friend? Now I want you to think about this. Which of you shall have a friend? So the audience, which just happened to be Jesus' disciples, this is his audience, which can also be applied to his followers today, and that is you and me. So he's knocking. Jesus is using this emphasis, where to being told, have a friend whom they shall approach to ask for some spare bread with which to feed a guest. So an old familiar song that I thought about as I was working and preparing this message, and I love this song, What a Friend We Have in Jesus. Think about that. What a friend we have in Jesus. I love that song. It's a beautiful song. And in this parable, when Jesus initially referred to friend, he was referring, I want you to think about this, he was referring to himself in this parable. Jesus is a friend described in this parable from whom someone was asking for bread. Now, that's what these parables are about. Jesus is teaching something very spiritual here about knocking and seeking and asking. And the one who asked Jesus for bread had to be a close friend to Jesus, for he declared, friend, lend me 3 loaves. Asking Jesus, lend me three loaves. That's in verse 5 here. He called Jesus his friend. Think about it now. So when this individual asked Jesus for bread, he wasn't asking on behalf of himself, but one of his other friends. He needed the bread in order to provide his friend, a household guest, with food. Okay? Now, moving on to verse 7, which says, he will answer from within and say, do not trouble me, the door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give to you. Now, looking at this verse and looking at what Jesus is working up to here, Jesus' children would have been the Jews, okay? He's talking about the Jews here in this particular industry, which needed Jesus Christ in our lives. And that's what this parable is. It's teaching, Jesus is teaching his disciples and those who are asking about his children, feeding them something, the spiritual food that they need, and he's not going to withhold it to them, but he's talking about his children, the Jews. Saying that the door was already shut implies that this disciple's friend who needed some bread was indeed a Gentile. All right? So stay with me on this, because this is, that's why, you know, Jesus said, for God so loved the world. So now he's talking about Jesus and also the Gentiles here as well. So what bread did this disciple desire to give his Gentile friend? Think about that now. And in John chapter 6, verse 35, Jesus said, I am the bread of life. He is. He who comes to me shall never hunger. Now, I want to take you out to the wilderness where Jesus was tempted for 40 days and 40 nights. And the devil tempted him with bread. Oh, you can turn these rocks into bread? You got the power to do that. Jesus said, I don't live by bread only, but every word that proceeds out of the Word of God. He was depending upon the Heavenly Father. That's where he got his strength. He was getting his strength from the Word, because he used the Word of God to defend himself against the devil about the temptations that Satan was throwing at him. So that's how he was fed. That's how we are fed as well. So this disciple wanted to offer his friend the bread of life. And his friend was a Gentile, him being a Jew, but yet he was extending out beyond who he was as a Jew to his Gentile friend. Now, he wanted his friend to be able to enter the kingdom of heaven with him. But Jesus was saying that this was not possible, at least yet. And reason why? Because the door was shut to Gentiles. Jesus was referring to his children as the Jews. And however, his people were already chosen for the kingdom, but they did not recognize Jesus as a true Messiah, the one that came to offer redemption to the world itself. Jews didn't. Their eyes were somewhat closed. It was cloudy. They had scales on them or something. Their heart wasn't open to the true Son of God, who said, me and the Father are one. I have come down to offer salvation to you. But they did not accept it. So the Jews were already selected to be sung into the comfortable place of heaven. Now, so what happens next in this parable? Well, verse 8 gives us a little light here when it says, Jesus said, I say to you, though he will not rise and give to him, because he is his friend, yet because his persistence, there's that knocking, that continually knocking, not quitting, but persistence in knocking, he will rise and give him as many as he needs. And though the disciple who asked for this bread was very close to Jesus, we see that he wouldn't give his disciple bread to feed his own friend. Now, Jesus said, however, that because the disciple was persistent, that's the word, persevering, he would go ahead and give him the loaves of bread to feed his household guests. And he did. In other words, Jesus would grant the Gentile eternal life because his own disciple was persistent in pleading with him because the Gentile wanted to be in heaven with Jesus. Now, there is no limitations. Think about this. No limitations placed on who can receive Jesus Christ in their hearts. No limitations at all. The door to the kingdom of heaven is now open to both Jews and Gentiles. So, the spiritual application here this morning, I want us to see this together. We acquire from this parable is that in order to receive Christ in our hearts, we have to truly desire his salvation. Now, we can get saved anytime we want to. We can't just say, well, today's the day. Well, the Holy Spirit has a part in drawing us to the Lord. And it's in the timing of the Lord when our hearts are ready and we realize that we are sinners. We've all come short of the glory of God that we're saved. Because the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, Romans 6:23. So we know that Jesus came into this world to save us from sin. And it's the Holy Spirit, the timing of on our hearts and working with the Holy Spirit, opening up our hearts to receive Jesus Christ, that we would be saved. So we have to want to be desperately that we would be willing to beg the Lord for forgiveness of sin and eternal life and not give up until he decided to give it to us. That's how Jesus works. That's how the Holy Spirit works in our lives. So we also see that if we have a friend who needs the bread of life, we will receive it. Now, just all we have to do is ask. That's an acronym. Ask and we receive. In verse 9, Jesus said, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. So what is the Lord telling us to do here? Think about it. What's he telling us to do? He's saying to ask. There are three key words that we find here. Ask, seek, and knock. Now, if you haven't memorized this verse, I encourage you to do that. Luke 11:9. Memorize this scripture. And 10. And the first letters of these three words form the acronym ASK, A-S-K, or just ask. So when the Lord tells us to ask, he is telling us that anyone who asks for the bread of life or salvation will be given eternal life. And that means the door of the kingdom of heaven will be open. Prayer is the key to heaven, and what opens the door? Faith. Faith opens the door. Now, if we earnestly desire salvation from Jesus, and we are persistent in asking, seeking the kingdom of God first and knocking on the door, then we will be granted salvation. We will be granted entrance into the kingdom of God. You know, Nicodemus, I love that story in John chapter 3. Nicodemus came to Jesus at night and acquiring Jesus. He had a lot of questions. He knew that he was the Son of God. He admitted that. He had done great works. And Jesus knew what was on his heart and mind, but Jesus had something different. Jesus had anointed the time and designated the time for him to come. Jesus knew he was coming. But he knew Nicodemus needed something much more than what he was coming to ask him about being the Son of God and doing great miracles and wonders. And Jesus looked at Nicodemus and said, hey, you got to be born again. You know, you're a great Pharisee. You're a good man. But your heart needs to be changed in the right way. You're a good person, but you got to be saved. You got to have a new life in me. And he told him that more than once. And of course, Nicodemus was kind of a little bit confused how to be born again, that he had been born once in the flesh. But Jesus said, hey, what's spirit is spirit, what's flesh is flesh. You've got to be born from above. And that's what Jesus is talking about here in this particular parable. If we earnestly desire salvation from Jesus, and we persistently ask him, you know, he will give us salvation. Now, Jesus is the bread of life. John chapter 6, I was talking about a while ago, and I read a verse from that a while ago. See, Jesus may knock on the door of our hearts, but what we see from this parable reveals that we need to do a little knocking ourselves. We need to be knocking on heaven's gates. We know that Jesus loves us. Jesus loves me, this I know, because of what? Bible tells us so. That's true. And those of us who have already professed him as our Lord and Savior, we did so maybe years ago because Jesus spoke to our hearts. And I want you to go back to that moment. I can go back to that moment. I know exactly it wasn't something outside this world itself, other than it was Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, knocking on my door. I thought, something is real here. Something is happening. It was the Holy Spirit. You remember that day, don't you? You remember that moment. It was something special. And those of us who have already professed him as Lord and Savior, we know that in our heart. He knocked on our door. We opened it in order to let him in. Now, all a person has to do is to be persistent and ask. The Lord declared in Jeremiah, I want to go back to Jeremiah, the Old Testament, and hear what Jeremiah had to say in chapter 29, verse 12 through 14. Then you will call upon me, and I go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You see, that's what that persistent is. Keep on asking. Keep on seeking and knocking. See, that has to be persistent. And Jeremiah even recognized that. And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all of your heart. Has to be with all of our heart as we seek him. And I will find you by, says the Lord. I will find you. I know where you are. You know, we can't run hide, you know. Well, he knows where we are, but he'll find us. You know what? That's a promise. The scriptures, you know, are true. They're authentic. The word of God is infallible. It's perfect. And it speaks to us. And the Lord will be found by anyone who chooses to call out to him. And I like what the Apostle Paul says in Romans 10:13. And I use this verse all the time when I'm witnessing someone. probably some of the last words I say. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord, what? Will be saved. He said, just call my name and you'll be saved. Because he's the bread of life. He's life itself. Let's pray. Father God, we praise your holy name. We thank you, Lord, for this particular parable, which falls right into what we are emphasizing today, the observance of the Lord's Supper. You are the bread of life. Your shed blood was given for the remission of sins, the washing away of sin, to purify our lives, even as Isaiah says, wash us white as snow. Lord God, we thank you that you do knock on our heart's door, and you are persistent, that you don't give up on us, that you keep on knocking till we open the door, because you are not forced yourself in to anyone's life. But when the time is right and when you begin knocking, you know that we are ready to receive you. We just got to respond openly, earnestly, and be desperate for your kingdom. Anyone here today, Lord, that's not sure of their salvation or haven't received you personally, or anyone listening for the first time maybe, or anyone listening to our services Sunday after Sunday, want to be sure. I've talked and witnessed to many a person over the years who thought they were saved, but when they realized it, they might just went through the motion. But when the Holy Spirit nailed it down in their life, they opened up their heart and received you into their life. Now they have eternal life. Whatever the need is today in our lives, Lord, you are able to give us the true and right answer through asking, seeking, and knocking. Lord, we praise you and we thank you that you don't give up on us, that you are always persistent. And we praise you and we thank you in your Son, Jesus Christ's name. Amen.